Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Countrified UK podcast, brought to you all the way from the United Kingdom, bringing you your weekly fix of everything country. And now your hosts, Ben and Blaine.
Hey guys, welcome to episode number 44 of the Countrified UK podcast. It's coming direct live from Nashville this time. It's been a long time coming, but we're finally here. And we have a new host on the show with us as well, who is Ben, who's just next to us here. How are you, Ben?
Hi, guys. I'm really good to be here. It's the first episode. Looking forward to it. Like Blaine says, not only is it the first interview podcast I'm doing, it's also straight from Nashville. So it's very exciting anyway.
And what an exciting time. It's been CMA Fest 2023. It's the 50th anniversary. And we have had the privilege to come across and got invited across from CMA to come across and cover the whole event. So this episode is dedicated to day one of everything that's happened so far. And just starting out, like, CMA Fest is like one of the biggest festivals in the world for country music festival, if not the biggest. Yeah, and 100%. We were here last year.
Yeah, we came as fans. Obviously, it was nice to get that experience as well. This weekend has been even crazier. It's been different. We've seen a completely different side that you would normally never see. So from us being a fan as well, it was incredible to work it and be a fan at the same time.
It's been fantastic. So this episode, like we said, we're covering day one. So, and each day there's going to be a four-part episode. So day one, day two, day three, and day four. So today we were luckily joined by Abby Cohn, Grace Lear, Charlie Reynolds, and David Nail, and four artists who's just absolutely fantastic and all at different stages in their career. But we had the pleasure of sitting down with them, and yeah, they had told us some interesting stories.
Yeah, like you say, it's good to see the people that's been there for years and been there. Some of them, it's the first time performing as well. Different ages all through their entire careers and how they're going about it and how they're branching out, not just in music, but other products as well. And it was just really good to see and meet them all and see their different stories behind each of their performances.
So when we first got here, we flew in on the Wednesday and the festival starts on the Thursday. We're up for about 27 hours, decided to go out the night before, which was a bit of a silly idea, but hey-ho, we still made the interviews.
Up at 7 in the morning, plenty of coffee.
Yeah, and basically we got down to Music City Centre, where if you've never been to CMA Fest before, that's where the Fanfare X is. That's where you can go. And if you've got a ticket, you can meet all your favourite artists in there. There's like loads of like different merchandise you can buy. Like I say, you can have meet and greets. They'll sign stuff for you and stuff like that. So we were located in there in a little press room with like loads of different people. And this whole trip as well, we've met some fantastic people. Not only have we just met like the artists, but we've met many other sort of people who do podcasts, radio shows, presenters, everything from all around the world.
Yeah, it was great to see. It was nice to meet them as well as people that's been doing it for a long, long time. 15 years, we met someone who's also based in the UK.
Shout out Ben.
Another Ben from the UK. It was nice to hear his story and his experiences, and we're able to share a little bit of knowledge and receive some of his knowledge as well. And just compare, and we saw him pretty much every day, I think, apart from one day.
Yeah.
On the Saturday, so we managed to pick his brains, and he was a really nice guy.
It's nice to see, because although we are country music fans, and all of what we have with different favourite artists or different eras of music, CMA Fest this year definitely made sure, with it being the 50th anniversary, that there was a little mix of everything. But during the daytime, obviously, there's multiple stages around the city centre. We didn't get a chance on the Thursday to get to any of the stages in the daytime because we're so tied down with like interviews.
Yeah, we tried to force as many in early doors, so then we had the availability over the next 3 days to really get out to the stages and see as many performances to try and share them with you guys on social media as well. So we really tried to force as much interviews in, which was good, and we managed to get a few surprise ones in there that we weren't really planning on as well, which was nice.
But before we get into any of the interviews and stuff like that, we're just going to give you a little run through of the stadium show that happens every night. So this is where like all your big artists appear on stage. The Thursday night was probably the night I was most looking forward to, just because Luke Combs was performing, someone I've I've loved from day one. But to kick off the show at the Nissan Stadium, we were walking across the pedestrian bridge to get across there. And
the US jets, I think it was the Blue Angels, flew over and it was just deafening, and the whole crowd, that immediately got the crowd that wasn't even in the stadium yet going, all screaming, shouting, and it just set the mood completely, and everyone was just full of beer.
It was unbelievable as well, because whilst we were walking across the bridge, you could hear the national anthem being sung inside the stadium. And then when we were walking across the bridge, literally everyone heard that and stopped in the tracks and was taking the hats off, singing the national anthem. Like Ben says, the jets flew across, and it just made for such a good picture.
Yeah.
Definitely showed you what America's about. But we got into the stadium and we actually missed King Calloway because they were on a bit earlier. But we got into the stadium and Jodi Mensah was playing, and we got to catch a bit of her set, and it was fantastic, some of the songs that she was playing. So she brought out a special guest, Christian artist Brian Fuller, and they sang together "He's Got a Hold of Me," and she also sang "Lessons in Leaving," and obviously she had to sing her most famous song, yeah, "Heads Carolina, Tails California," which, a bit disappointing, Nicole Swindle didn't come out, but hey.
Yeah, it is what it is. But it still was good, and a really good first. Well, it wasn't the first artist of the night, but for us, it was the first artist that we managed to listen to in that whole day, really.
Yeah.
So that was the taster for us, and it just set the tone for the rest of the night.
And at this point, just to set the scene for you a bit, the stadium's pretty much filled to the brim. You've got you've got the platform stage and the main stage, and then there was additional little stage in it, but stadium's all full. It was still light, it was nice and warm, it was a pretty nice night, and Ben says, it set the turn up for the Nissan Stadium. But then next on stage was Jordan Davis and someone we've never actually seen live before. We're gonna go and see him at Country to Country, but we never went this year. To be honest, I didn't realise how many hit songs he had until he started.
It wasn't surprising, but it was definitely a much better show than we maybe anticipated. It was quite a long set as well, which was good, because each song that he sang just seemed to get better, and the crowd seemed to get stronger with each song that went on as well.
I think what surprises with him as well, as Ben said, he sang 8 songs in the space of just under 40 minutes, but he wasn't quite what I was expecting, where he would be stood in the middle of the stage with a microphone. He was running up and down the stage. He was getting amongst the fans. He was living his best life, to be fair.
That's it. It was hyping the crowd up, and everyone was just loving it.
But so Jordan Davis, he went on to sing "Next Thing You Know," "What My World Spins Around," "Take It From Me," "Singles You Up," "Slow Dancing in a Parking Lot," "Almost Maybes," and his final song that he sang was the one he's got with Luke Combs, called "By Dirt," and literally the whole crowd, he had the crowd in the palm of his hand the whole night. But it was a really surprising act for me, but we thoroughly enjoyed him.
Everyone enjoyed him, I think, and we liked him even more than we thought we would on the way there. We had been looking forward to him, that's why we made sure we got there for him and the previous act beforehand, but then the act that followed was just, for us personally, even better.
I mean, that set up the crowd really nicely for Luke Combs.
Especially finishing on that song with Luke Combs, and then you've got him following straight after as well. It's just...
And with, the stadium at this point, it's 9 o'clock, it's starting to get a bit darker, everyone's had a few beers, everyone's there, everyone's dead excited to see Luke Combs, and he just didn't disappoint. Yeah, he brought tons of energy to the show. And unfortunately, the festival, they only get 30, 40 minute time slots on stage for somebody with so many hits like Luke Combs.
That's it. How do you choose just that amount of time for so many hit songs. I don't know how they managed to choose which hits to play.
But he literally did like justice to all his songs. So he played songs from all his different albums. So like from old albums, like When It Rains It Pours and Beautiful Crazy. And then he sang like from his new album, like his cover of Tracy Chapman's Fast Car, The Kind of Love We Make, Love You Anyway. He finished on Beer Never Broke My Heart, which had the stadium like bouncing. Absolutely off the heads. But the highlight of like Luke Combs' set was, again, with it being the 50th anniversary, he stood on stage and said he wanted to bring out a special guest. Says it was the best guitarist in the whole wide world. And he brought out like country music icon like Vince Gill to sing a duet with him. And the song One More Last Chance. And it was pretty magical, to be fair.
It was insane. Like I said, it's celebrating the 50th anniversary, so it had to be something pretty special. And it was, and more. Everyone was loving it. It was someone that's been looked up to and just carried on the entire show with the vibe of that performance was amazing.
And then, obviously, so Luke Combs goes off stage. Next person on stage, on the main stage, is Carly Pearce. Now, I wouldn't want to be Carly Pearce in that situation, having to, like, follow up Luke Combs. But, in her defence, she did everything right. It was the first time ever she's played in the Nissan Stadium. So, it was, like, unbelievable.
It was for our first time, and like you say, following such a huge act, which, in fairness, Luke Combs was probably the act that I'd say 60 to 70% of that arena was there to see in particular, not just on that night, but across the whole 4 days.
Yeah. It's
definitely one of our main ones.
Absolutely.
And then Carly Pearce came out and just done what she had to do and smashed it.
So anyone that follows Carly Pearce will always know when she opens a show. She always opens with Diamondback, and she didn't do anything different this time. That's the song she came out and played. She played Easy Going, and then she brought out the girl who pretty much, well, the first act we seen, that Joe Dimenza, and their song I'm All Right together. She continued with like Next Girl, What He Didn't Do, Never Wanted to Be That Girl. She closed her set off with I Hope You're Happy Now. Again, another artist, like, I think, we haven't seen her before. And literally, I thought she was unbelievable. Someone I'd definitely race back to see again.
Her voice was amazing, and it was nice to see her bring out the act from earlier on as well and just carry on. Everything was just amazing at this point. Everyone was happy, and there wasn't really a chance for them to do any wrong. And as long as they came out and put on a show, which everybody did, and she was no different.
And then in between like all these acts happening whilst they're setting up the stage and that, there is the little spotlight stage where an artist will come on and sing two songs. So like on the Thursday, there was Ashley Cook and Rashad. And Rashad's new song, honestly, if you haven't heard it yet, it's called For the Street. And he performed that. And it was like acoustic. It was really good. But it's a song that isn't made to be acoustic, but he made it what it was. It was absolutely unbelievable. So definitely go and check that out. But someone... Yeah,
it was pretty special. And it's also, you've got to remember, these, like Blaine said, it's in between acts. So they're performing whilst a large amount of people are going off to get snacks or beers. We certainly weren't alone in that. We made sure we were topping up plenty of beers in between each act as well.
Absolutely.
But then he just managed to kind of sit everybody back down, keep it still, and that's just quite an impressive thing to do, really.
Yeah, the spotlight stage, when that comes on, is basically a stage where artists are coming into their career, where they're sort of up and coming, starting to make a name for themselves. But it gives them like an opportunity, because no doubt in years to come, these are sort of the people who will be on the main stage further down the line as well. And then one of the ones, guests that just randomly turned up and started performing, who wasn't even scheduled to perform, was Darius Rucker, who came out and sang two songs, and obviously was going to sing Wagon Wheel, which got the crowd up, everyone out the seats, dancing, sing along, throwing the arms up in the air, cowboy hats everywhere. It was picturesque.
It was everything you would expect CMA Festival to have, from age groups of all types, up in the chairs, singing, dancing, celebrating, everything you would want, everything you'd expect.
And then one act we were really looking forward to seeing was Tyler Hubbard. So for you that might not recognize the name, he was one half of Florida Georgia Line with Brian Kelly. But they've ventured off and done their own little thing. And as people may not know, like Florida Georgia Line was the sort of band that got us into country music.
100%. That's what we, or me in particular, personally first kind of heard on YouTube all them years ago, where he was performing with Nelly, which was the kind of mix-up in genres that really got me set on country music, because I used to listen to a lot of hip-hop and rap and stuff like that. So that kind of introduced us to it and just carried it on from there. So it was personally a really good experience to actually look forward to and watch him play. It was a shame I never actually got to see Florida Georgia Line perform as a duo.
Still time.
That could still happen someday. It was really nice to see Tyler play, and it was a little bit special personally.
And like Tyler sort of didn't do it like as people thought. When with the seats we were sat at, we could see all what was happening in the wings of the stage and what was happening backstage. And we're seeing these people like warming up, and now we're like, are they backing dancers? Like, is Tyler Hubbard bringing backing dancers? And he did. And I don't know why. It probably, backing dancers and country music probably shouldn't work, but it did.
Yeah. It almost was like watching a musical, like in London somewhere. And it was like, it was a little bit odd at first, but it kind of worked in its own special way. It was, like I say, I think it took the whole stadium a little while to kind of come around to it. And then by the end of it, it was as good as everybody else, really.
He's definitely I'm pleased he didn't start dancing there.
Oh, definitely.
But Tyler Hubbard, like, he played songs from his new album, which included, like, Dancing in the Country and 5'9", which is actually just hit number one as well at the minute. So that's absolutely fantastic, and what an achievement for Tyler. And then the final act was Dan and Shay. But unfortunately, we were so tired after Tyler that we just said, we'll have to call it night, walk back.
We had interviews booked early in the morning. We'd been awake for, like Blaine had said earlier, about 27 to 29 hours. We'd been travelling and just non-stop, straight out, up all day, working all day. And at this point, it was, 11:30, maybe even later?
Yeah, the stadium was going on forever because they're recording live. So your hosts were Lainey Wilson, Ellie King, Dierks Bentley. And they like had to do a lot of takes. So there was a lot of like sitting around waiting. But from what we heard from the people that were sat around where we went in the next night, like Dan and Shay were unbelievable. I can remember just chatting to somebody before we were interviewing them this weekend. And they turned around and was like, Dan and Shay's voice is just phenomenal.
Yeah, I think it was Taylor Holder, wasn't he? He was saying he was probably one of the best vocalists that he's ever actually worked with or listened to. And by the voices of everybody around with the next day, when we were talking to them, they reciprocated that completely and just said exactly the same thing. His just vocals are sensational. And in a large stadium setting where the speakers are so loud and there's so much noise going on, and it's an open roof as well, so to be able to perform how he did by the sounds of it was pretty special.
Definitely. So that was day one of CMA Fest. My personal favourite, like not being biased or anything, but it was Luke Combs. But out of all the other acts, I was very, very, very surprised with Rashawn as well. I think he was the person, like it was second favourite. So if it wasn't Luke Combs performing that night, I think Rashawn was my favourite.
Yeah, no, I'd probably agree with that. I would have really liked to see Dan and Shay, especially listening back on what people said about it. But going off what I did here, Luke Combs was obviously the one I was mainly looking forward to anyway, and he was by far my favourite.
Amazing. So, like I say, every day you're going to get day one, day two, day three, and day four. So on day one, we interviewed Abby Cohn, Grace Lear, Charlie Reynolds, and David Nail. And these are the interviews that we had, guys. So sit tight, listen, and I hope you enjoy.
So hey guys, we are now joined by Abby Kern, finally in person, after speaking to you in August on the podcast last time.
Yes.
How have you been?
Good. Really good.
How has life been? It's been really busy for you recently.
It has been quite busy the last few months. We talked in August. What was I doing in August? I have no idea. I have no concept of time anymore. But yeah, I've put out some new music. I've done some shows. I don't know. I don't remember. I have no memory.
So, well, talking about shows, firstly, like, you opened up for Tanya Tucker.
I did.
Yeah. How was that experience for yourself?
So good. Icon. Love yeah. Tanya Tucker. She's wild. At our show in Kansas City, she literally took a, she has a tequila brand. She took a bottle of tequila and just, like, gave it to the crowd. Our show in Kansas City was really fun. Yeah, I did that. I played Stagecoach in April. That was so fun. The heat almost killed me, but it was really fun. And then, yeah, now we're here.
Was enjoying your little series on Instagram.
Thank you. I started that. Yeah. That was fun. I've always wanted to, I like talking to people. So I was like, I'm just going to like make it obvious that that's a thing that I like to do. What a better way than to go down to Broadway and talk to people. Nothing matches the Broadway energy.
No,
it just
not.
Is like you just have to put a mic in front of someone's face, and it's just like pure entertainment.
The only thing it can match to is like Vegas, I would say.
I know. I did Stagecoach. I did New York City. I'm probably gonna do Broadway again tomorrow, just cause. But yeah, I need to like go somewhere like Vegas to try to compete with that energy.
Oh, that'd be really good doing it like during CMA Fest as well, because you're gonna meet people from all around the world.
Oh yeah,
in so many different characters.
I was gonna do it today, but I didn't.
I'd probably do one in the morning or like mid afternoon, and then one at night time. Like maybe
I need to do one at night time. Maybe that would be what would make it different than the other one.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll find some funny stories. But so you've had a new song out, If You Were a Song.
Yes.
Can you tell us a tiny bit about what that song's about?
Yes. If You Were a Song, so I'm a songwriter, obviously, and I think that I always try to like really big on titles. Like I like the idea of looking at the back of a record or like a track list of a record and being like, what's that song about? So I had that title. I was just like, guys, I want to write. I wrote it with Nate Cypher and Nathan Spicer. And I was like, this is a basic title. I was like, it's borderline lame.
Yeah.
Like, this song could be bad. You know what I mean? I was like, but I like the idea of such a simple title and making it like a really fresh song. So, I mean, I guess it's like a love song about a love song, kind of. You know what I mean?
It's quite nice that you mentioned it, where you says like when you look at the back of a record, because like nowadays, like obviously people stream music.
Yeah.
So you don't quite get that. Like, I remember as a kid when growing up, like you would get like the album cover out, and you would open it up and it'd have like everyone who was featured writing on it and stuff. So
yeah, I still really love the idea of like putting out a debut record and just seeing a list of titles that, I mean, maybe one could assume what a song is about, but just that like spark interest, you know?
And with that song, like CMT shared it and like pushed it out. How was that for you? Like,
it was so fun. I love CMT. They've supported me. I was in CMT Next Women of Country 2020 class, and I flew to New York City for a day to see myself on that billboard. I was like, I'm not gonna miss seeing myself on a billboard. So it was really fun. It was just really sweet of them to do that, and the support that they've shown me is really, really cool.
I've seen the videos of you walking in Times Square with the, with your face on the billboard.
Yeah.
Did anyone stop you and recognize you?
No. Okay, so there was, I need to post it, there was like this old man, he was with like, it was these two little old men, and they were so cute. And I was like, I was standing there, I have a video of it, so I should post it. And I was like, no one was looking at the thing and then looking at me and being like, oh, that's you. So I was like, I like tapped on the old man and I was like, that's me. And he was like, that's you. And I was like, yeah. And he like had the cutest response. And he goes, I'm in a star. And it sounded like a Disney movie. Like it sounded like an old man in a Disney movie, and it's so cute. So I had to point out to people that it was me. No one like put it together though.
Oh,
that's okay though.
But yeah, your face is up on
there.
We'll
take what
we can get. And so it's CMA Fest week and we're here. So you performed this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And how was that for you?
It was good. Performed on the Maui Gym stage. Got some free Maui Gym sunglasses. There were people there, which was nice. You never know.
It's the first time that you've like performed on an official stage at CMA Fest as well.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I've always done stuff inside Music City Center. So we made it outside this year, which I'm really stoked about. I'm playing the Spotify Fresh Finds Rooftop tomorrow, which I'm stoked about. Spotify has been really incredible with how they've supported this new song and the EP that I have out, but especially this new song. And I was the face of Fresh Vines Country the last month, and yeah, it's just sick.
So, like, for the rest of 2023, what else have you got planned? Can we expect any more music?
Yes, you can expect another song in probably the next month. I don't want to like announce the name and stuff yet, but I'm working on another song, just an acoustic version of a song. It's like real songwriter shit. So I'm releasing an acoustic version of it just so people can really hear the song. I've decided I should probably make a record. So I'm going to start working on my record, probably this month, and hope to have it done by, I don't know, August, September. Probably wouldn't come out until 2024. Got to like put a plan together for it. So yeah, new music. Am I doing any shows? I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm focused on cutting new music the rest of the year.
Perfect. Well, we'll look forward to hearing that music, and we'll look forward to seeing you perform tomorrow night at Rooftop at Spotify House as well.
Cool.
So thank you for joining me today.
Yeah,
best of luck with the rest of 2023.
Thank you.
No worries. So hi guys, we are now joined by Grace Lear here at CMA Fest.
Yay.
How's it been for you so far?
So good. It's been a really fun day. The fans are out. Country music is everywhere. It's a blast.
So like for all the listeners back home in the UK, they might not have heard the name Grace Lear before. Mm-hmm. Can you just give a brief introduction to like who you are and how like your journey into music?
Yeah, I'm Grace Lear, and I'm originally from California, but I moved to Nashville about 6 years ago, and I've been singing since I was a little girl, and country music is all I've ever really wanted to do. And I put out my debut EP last year, self-titled Grace Lear, and so people can stream that. Just recently released my newest single called My Mind's Made Up, and I love what I do. And I mean, yeah, I'm a country artist and I love it.
And like you were on American Idol as well?
I was, yes. I was on American Idol during 2020. So it was an interesting season for me because of the quarantine and lockdown. But it was an amazing experience, amazing opportunity. And it really opened a lot of doors for me.
Perfect. And like from that experience, like, was there anything that you could have taken away from all that to like put on into your career afterwards?
From American Idol?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, I feel like American Idol was, so before American Idol, I was already living in Nashville doing the, you know, country artist thing and writing and doing shows on nights and weekends. I had a band that I was playing with, and I was also working a sales job to just kind of, you know, make ends meet. And after Idol, I was able to quit that sales job and just do music full on. And I really got to connect with so many amazing people in the industry. I really hit the writing room with some amazing co-writers, and that helped me create my debut project. So I just feel like American Idol just really opened so many doors and just allowed me to just grow as an artist and develop.
Perfect. And then after you finished like American Idol, mm-hmm. you put out like that like EP that you want about Grace Lear. And that was released on like September the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
How did it feel like finally putting something out there after like your name was sort of out there to the mm-hmm. public?
Oh, it felt so good. I mean, it was, yeah, my very first EP, and I feel like it was my very first, you know, project that was just me. Just, I wanted the fans to know who Grace Lear was, like, at, you know, and we're ever changing and we're always evolving as artists, but yeah. I feel like all those songs, all the way down to the cover that 1,000 Miles from Nowhere is on there, the producers and all the songs I wrote that were, you know, mainly true stories and things that I've been through. I really just wanted fans to really see that in me. And I think that we accomplished that. So I'm really proud of that project, and it just felt so good to get it out.
Perfect. And you've got a brand new song out called My Mind's Made Up. Like, what's that like? Like, what's that song about?
Yeah. So My Mind's Made Up. It's a, you know, if anybody's been in the situation where they've fallen for the idea of someone or the potential of someone, and you kind of get out of the relationship after the fact and you look back and you're like, wow, I've made all that up in my mind. Like, that wasn't a real person, that, you know, maybe you were reading into things that weren't real, or they said things, but they didn't show them action wise. That song is kind of admitting to yourself. The hook is, I'm not getting over you. That isn't hard to do. I'm getting over who my mind's made up. And I think that kind of says it all in that, you know, I'm just trying to get over this person that was fictitious. And yeah, so it's a heartbreak song. It's sad.
And going back to your EP, one of our favorite songs is Brought a Girl.
Oh yeah.
What's that song about as well?
Yeah. So Brought a Girl is a true story. about a guy, about a party I was throwing, and a guy brought a girl to the party, and it was a sad scene. But it was, that song is true as can be, and I wrote it like a couple days later after it happened, because I walked into the write and just said, guys, this thing happened to me at a party. I just need to write about it. So we wrote Brought a Girl, and then even the music video, which you guys can watch on YouTube. The music video is as real as it gets. The house is the house that we did, that he brought a girl at, that I was throwing the party at. The guy in the Brought a Girl music video is the real guy that I wrote the song about, and he was just a good sport and was in the music video with me. But the girl is not. The girl he brings to the party in the music video is not the real girl. So it was just a fun, that was a really fun song.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
Thank you.
And last night you performed with the American Idol people. How was that performance like for
you? That was so much fun. Performing last night with my American Idol family is really fun. I mean, it was a bunch of the contestants that just got off the show. There were some of us that were on last year or the year before. And it's just, you know, we just all have that in common, that life, when you've done Idol, it moves really, really fast. And I think it's, you know, I was talking to some of the new artists, just like, how do you feel being off the show? And some of them are like, I'm really sad it's over. And some of them are like, I'm really glad it's over, because I needed to. It's a lot, and it's kind of, so a show like that last night was really good for all of us to just have fun. And I got to play a lot of new songs, and it was a great crowd. We like packed the place. There was people that weren't even able to get in, that we ended up going next door to this candy shop and playing some acoustic songs just in the candy shop for people that weren't able to get into the Valentine.
Oh, wow.
It's like, pretty fun. I'd never played in a candy shop before. It was pretty fun.
We were walking outside last night, and there was like loads of commotion.
Yeah.
And it was like everyone was trying to get out the building.
Yeah.
And then people looked like the alleyway and that, because we were off the like overhead mayhem.
It was.
But one of the things as well with like EP, because you do a lot of cooking.
Yes.
And like, did you link something with your EP?
I did. Yes.
With your cookery and that.
So I have a cookbook out right now. You can get it on my website, gracelear.com, but it's called Taste with Grace. And I just love to cook. It's like my happy place in the kitchen to just relax. I turn on some music. I make a good dinner. And it's a way, I feel like when I compare it to music, it's another way of being creative, but I'm like in full control of the outcome. It's like music, I can be creative, and it's like, this song could probably not do anything, but it's really fun. It's fun to just, and I love food. I love to eat.
What's your specialty dish that you make?
Ooh. My specialty dish that I make, I do make a really good marinara. And that's also in my cookbook. So my cookbook actually goes along with my EP. Like you said, each song on the EP has a recipe to it. So, and actually my marinara is in there, because I do my bolognese, which goes along with my song Meant to Be, because I feel like pasta for me is such a comfort food, that when you're going through a heartbreak, it helps. Food helps.
Definitely
the carbs does. Helps. The wine helps, you know. It all goes together.
And with us being from the UK, like, we heard that you had a scholarship in soccer.
Yes.
So,
do you play?
Yeah. And what position did you play?
What position do you think I played? I love asking, seeing what you think.
Right wing.
I was out there a lot. Forward.
Forward.
Always. But usually outside forward. So, yeah. This was really fast. I was really fast. I would score goals, try to score goals all the time. But that's all, like, I could not defend. Like, I played forward my whole life. My dad's chiming in. Dad, this is an interview. Gosh. I just couldn't stay back. Like, I was just like, I want to score goals so bad. So, yeah, that's awesome. What position do you play?
Like, right wing, okay. Or, like, right back.
I love
literally
it.
Literally anywhere.
That's awesome. Fair. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love soccer, and I played it my whole life and played in college. And then I got to sing the national anthem for the women's national team, played here in the She Believes Cup in Nashville at Geodis Park, our new stadium. And it was really, really cool, because I played with Alex Morgan. And so she was at that game, and I sang the anthem. She gave me a hug afterwards, and it was just a really cool full circle moment. Like, singing, but I used to play soccer.
Yeah, yeah.
It was really cool. It was special.
Like, you've progressed in Latin and in football. Like, for Alex, it's completely different, but
yes.
It's nice, like, full circle moment, like you said. Well, do you have a favorite soccer team that you support?
Honestly, the women's national team. I'm so bad at, like, I don't follow sports. I just don't. I know.
That's fine. And, well, the final question, what is the rest of 2023 got in store for yourself?
Just more music. I have so many new songs that I've written and I'm excited about. So I'm really, you know, that EP though, the self-titled Grace Lear, that is something I'm still playing out and I still love, but we always have to have something else cooking. So I got a lot of new songs and I can't wait for people to hear them.
Perfect. Well, thank you for sitting down for it with us today.
Thank
and
you.
Enjoy the rest of the weekend and best of luck for the rest of 2023.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it.
So we are now joined by Charlie Reynolds here at CMA Fest.
Yes.
How's it going for you so far?
It's been great. I'm so enjoying this.
And then I believe it's your first CMA Fest.
It is, yes. It's my first time playing an official like CMA stage. So it's been really, really cool.
And you've played the Spotlight stage so far?
Yes. Played the Spotlight stage just about an hour ago. And it was so much fun and so cool to see people. There were some people singing my songs back to me, which doesn't happen that often. So it was really, really cool.
And how many songs did you perform?
I did 5 songs. Yes. So I did 5 all singles that are out. One that will be on an EP later this month.
And which ones did you perform?
I did She Ain't Me, my most current single, One Day at a Time, Rodeo, Summer Storm, and Flowers. I'm like, there's one I'm missing here.
And can you talk about like your latest track, She Ain't Me? Like,
yes.
What is that song about?
Man, here's the tea for you. So I was cheated on with this guy cheated on me with a girl that looked exactly like me.
Right.
And so I had the title She Ain't Me, and we were like, what are we gonna write this about? And that kind of fit perfectly with it. So we kind of channeled that sassy like anger energy, and that happened years ago, but we were like, we're gonna Taylor Swift it up.
Yeah.
And we're gonna write this thing. So
calling people out as
yes,
Taylor does.
Gotta do it, gotta do it.
She set a tone for that.
Yeah.
And the other song that you mentioned before, Rodeo.
Yes.
Like, is it as the title says about Rodeo?
I mean, no, but it's kind of like, it's the hook is, it ain't my first rodeo. So it's about a guy coming up to you in the bar, just trying to smooth talk you or whatever. And it's like, this ain't my first rodeo. Like, I know what you're doing kind of thing. It's just another fun, upbeat song.
Yeah. And so you were saying, like, how was that experience performing on stage? And people actually singing the songs back to you, like that
crazy.
Must be surreal.
It was crazy because there was people sing along to the song that came out last Friday, which I'm like, how do y'all know this already? And it was a little girl. I pulled her up on stage to sing it with me because she knew literally all the words. I watched her throughout the whole performance and I'm like, you know the words. And she was like, yeah. And so I was like, get up here and sing it. So she did. It was so cool. I've never done that either before. So it's a lot of firsts today. I love it.
And well, like, people like with TikTok and like social media,
yes.
And when you put little snippets of the song out,
yes.
Because that's one way that we actually heard about you.
Like,
I think it was like last year,
okay.
When it was where, like, I think it was your friend or something, it shouted in the car park,
yes.
Like singing a song
HR.
With the word drunk in it.
Yes,
and that was
crazy.
Unbelievable. And then
thank
that's how
you.
That, like, we found out about yourself that
oh,
way as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was actually CMA Fest last year. I was playing at Miranda Lambert's and we were going there, and I was like, hey, let's do a video. And that was crazy, that one. That's so funny, though. I'm glad it made some connections for us, and
like,
we're meeting now. That's so cool.
Finally came and made his way across the UK,
yes.
So definitely doing something right.
Yes, that was so cool.
And so, like, for the rest of the year, have you got much planned? Have you got any more music being?
Yeah, so I have a 6-song EP coming June 23rd, which I'm very excited about. I've never put out a project, like a lengthy project, so very excited about that. It's called Perfect Timing. And then I will hope to be on some kind of tour in the fall or just on my own little tour. So we'll see what we can get planned. But I have vocal surgery in January, so I'm trying to take it a little bit slow with that. But hopefully wherever I can book, I'm ready to go. So.
And then if you had a choice of like anyone that you could have like a dream collaboration with, who would it be?
It's such a hard question because I have so many, but I've said this pretty much all day, so I'm gonna keep with it. Reba McEntire, love her. So I think I would say her.
Yeah. She's at the festival as well, isn't she?
I know. I bought a ticket to see her tomorrow. So we're coming 10:45 tomorrow morning to see her here.
Well, maybe you can pull out the one side and try and get something sorted.
Yes, that'd be awesome.
So, and is there any other artists that you more like apart from Reba, like
yeah.
that you're looking forward to seeing at the festival?
Oh yeah, Lainey Wilson, Miranda Lambert, Cody Johnson. We're going tomorrow night to see all of them, and it's gonna be fun. I just love getting to see so many different artists all in the same day, you know. It's really cool. Keith Urban too is that night, which is awesome. So very excited. Yeah.
And have you got many more performances this week?
I am actually performing at Miranda Lambert's Casa Rosa tomorrow from 1 to 2 for an hour, and then I'm performing at Assembly Food Hall on Sunday at 3 p.m. for a writer's round with my friends.
Oh, perfect.
Yes.
And so, like, in terms of, like, the writer rounds and doing, like, all these gigs, do you prefer performing at intimate venues or, like, bigger shows?
I love bigger shows. I love both, but I think I love the energy of the bigger shows, a full band, you know? I think that's... But I do love both. They're just very different, you know?
Perfect. Well, hopefully one day we'll get you back, like, over to the UK and get some shows under the belt. But enjoy the rest of the weekend. Best of luck with this new EP that's coming out, and best of luck with the rest of 2023 as well.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. You too.
Thank you. So we are now joined by David Neal. What a pleasure to have you on our show.
Thank you.
How are you today?
I'm wonderful. You know, it's sort of the first day, so a little nerves, a little anxiety, but you know, I've done this for a long time, so I'm sort of owed half.
And
sort of
owed half. How many CMA Fests have you done?
Over 10. I would say probably 13 or 14, maybe. Enough. I remember the first one I ever attended, sort of as a fan when I first got in the business, was the last one. It was out at the fairgrounds.
All right.
And so I'm old in that respect, because I remember that. But it's something that, you know, in one way, shape, or form, I've been involved with for a long time. Yeah.
It must be nice, like, at home, like, circle, like, coming back as a fan and then coming to perform here as well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it seemed so big then, but I mean, obviously it's so much bigger and so much more involved, and sort of starts earlier. I feel like goes longer than it did back then. But yeah, I mean, it blew me away then. It still blows me away now that this many people, you know, spend their hard earned money and their time to come here and listen to their favorite musicians and find, you know, new people they'd never heard of and fall in love with them. And just, I feel like a lot of careers are born during these few days.
Yeah. And talking about, like, favorite musicians and stuff, do you have one at this present moment in time?
Oh, man. I mean, I listen to so much music that whoever sings that Sunroof song, because that's the song I hear about 75 times a day in my house with my kids. I don't know who that is, but I feel like my oldest, my twins, got on it. We have an Alexa in our house, and so it's literally all I hear throughout the day is, "Hey, Alexa, will you play Sunroof?" So whoever that is, it's very catchy.
And one thing we're excited for today and, like, seeing you perform, but you've got a brand new song that just came out last week, Best of Me.
Yes.
Could you tell us a tiny bit about that song, please?
Well, it's a song that I wrote about a conversation that I had with my father-in-law before he was, in fact, my father-in-law, just about wanting to marry his daughter and sort of painting the picture of, which was not super rosy at that time. I mean, I was a very struggling musician, didn't really have a whole lot going on, but had met her and we, sounds ridiculously cheesy to say, but we fell in love in, like, record time and moved in together. And so it was super important, for me to not only have his blessing, but for me to feel like he approved not only of me as a person, as a man, but as us as a couple, and that he believed in our future together.
Oh, amazing. And is it true that you met in Tin Roof?
We did. We did very, very late. Very, very late one night. And a buddy of mine, who I haven't seen in many, many, many years, was talking about this girl. You know, I frequented the Tin Roof enough that I pretty well knew everybody that hung out there. And so this acquaintance of mine named Derek Holly kept coming around saying there was this new girl in the bar that he had never seen before. And so when I figured out who it was and she walked past me, I decided to speak to her, and the rest is history.
Oh, amazing. So two of our, like, favorite songs by you is Night on Fire, Whatever She's Got. Like, just for our personal, like, game, can you tell us, like, what them tracks are about as well, please?
Whatever She's Got is a song that came to me when I had gone through a really difficult personal stretch. And I always tell people I would probably never record that song if I hadn't got to this really positive place in my life. But had you know, gotten to a point where I just, you know, wanted to sing something fun, something light, something that wasn't a whole lot of rocket science. And my A&R guy, Joe Fisher, at the time sent me the song, and I joke, and my cell service was so bad, it took me about an hour for the thing to download on my phone. But when I finally listened to it, you know, it was, I was surprised by how much I loved it, but I knew after the first listen that it was something I wanted to record. And Nights on Fire was the same thing. It was written, co-written by Jonathan Singleton, who I wrote Let It Rain with, who wrote, and a few other songs that were on albums, but he also wrote Red Light. And so it was on hold by several different artists who almost cut it, and thankfully we kind of stayed with it and fought for it, and I just really believed in it. I just felt like it was a hit. I actually felt like it was a bigger hit than it was, but it's loads of fun to play live, and we'll be playing it a little later today.
Oh, perfect. And some of your like older albums to the like new music that you're releasing now, has there been like a shift in the music, do you reckon, that you're making? Like a massive change?
You know, I don't think so. I think that I just kind of do what I do. I don't know necessarily what that is or how to describe it. You know, I feel like that I've gotten to a point, you know, over my career that I'm comfortable with kind of the style of music that I, you know, sort of stay in. You know, I feel like that there's a, you know, some lanes that I kind of try to stay in between. And, you know, I feel like I've had enough of a career that people sort of expect a certain style from me. And I don't always adhere to that, but I feel like, you know, I've established myself enough that if I sort of, you know, if I started dyeing my hair, or grew my hair out and jumping off speakers and stuff, people would be like, hey, what in the hell is this guy drinking or taking? And so, I try to do me. I'm a very bad actor, as all my videos will attest. So I just try to stay comfortable with what I do best, and just try to make it first and foremost about the music, and hopefully that makes enough impact with somebody that they give our music a shot.
Oh, amazing. And like, you've got a list of like shows coming up over the next few weeks and like months, and you're playing one on July the 4th, Independence Day, at the Grand Ole Opry. How does it feel to be playing like at the Grand Ole Opry, like on Independence Day?
It's always a nerve-wracking nightmare. I mean, it's such an honor and it's so amazing, but you know, as many times I've played it, and I don't know how many times I've played it, but enough that I should be a little bit more relaxed than I get. But like I said, it's always an honor. It's never taken lightly. You know, it's probably about 15 years ago since I did my debut, or 14 years ago, because it was right before I got married. So that seems crazy that I've been doing it for 14 years. You know, like I said, I should be used to it. But if you want to see like somebody that still gets overly worked up about a performance, come see me on that day. And especially because we're going to be traveling back from Utah, it's going to be a hellacious travel day to get back. But if you're going to have a hellacious travel day, it better be for something that means something, and that certainly does.
Oh yeah, definitely. And obviously, like, so you've said that you've had like quite a long career there. Like, if you had to pick one thing, what's been the greatest like achievement in your career so far?
Well, I mean, you know, I think probably getting nominated for a Grammy for a song that didn't break the top 15, which is obviously very rare, and getting to go out there and experience that whole thing. I remember being on the red carpet, and Lady Gaga, it was back when she was a little off her rocker, so to speak. She came in on a cocoon right behind me on the red carpet. And so that was kind of my first instance with like Hollywood and how crazy it can be. But I just remember it being a very emotional day. You know, I mean, I can remember when we found out about the nomination, I rolled over, it was a late phone call, and I rolled over to my wife. And I think as somebody that's been in this business as long as I have, you always want to have respect and appreciation from your peers. And obviously it doesn't get much bigger than the Grammys, and we didn't win, but I can remember somebody coming up to me and saying, you know, regardless of what happens the rest of your career, you'll always be referred to as Grammy nominated. And I remember thinking, wow, that's pretty damn special.
Absolutely. I don't think of anything better than that. But finally, what is the rest of 2023 got planned for David Neal?
We're going to be on the road as much as we can. You know, I feel like we've really hit our groove as a group. Coming out of the pandemic and getting back out there, you know, I think it took probably everybody a little ways to get, you know, their feet back up underneath them and their voices maybe back to how they should be and how they were before. And so we've got a new song coming out in the EP, I think, in the next 4 weeks. And I'm really going to spend probably the next 3 to 4 weeks. We aren't as busy on the road, kind of stirring up creatively what's next. And then we'll spend the fall on, you know, getting whatever that is taken care of.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, we'll look forward to hearing all this new music coming from you. And we'll look forward to seeing you perform today.
Absolutely.
And best of luck with the rest of the weekend. And hope you have a fantastic weekend.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you taking the time.
No worries for you.
So there you have it, guys. There's your interviews. I hope you really enjoyed them as much as we had as much fun making them. It was great experience meeting each and every single one of them. And yeah, they were all a pleasure to talk to and told with some exciting stuff. And so that was a massive thanks to Abby Cohn, Grace Lear, Charlie Reynolds, and David Nail. Who was your favourite out of all them?
I wouldn't say I had a favourite. It was like we mentioned beforehand, all four artists were at completely different stages in their career and experience at the festival. You know, David mentioned there he'd done between 13 and 14. And then Charlie was mentioning that was our first. So it was good to see and hear about all the different ways that they go around handling each festival and what they all look forward to personally.
One thing we'd like to point out is the day that we did this interview and we went back to the apartment and like started putting everything together, that night Abby Cohn went to the Grand Ole Opry because she's got a song that she wrote with Vince Gill called If You Were a Song. And Vince Gill was performing at the Grand Ole Opry. And Abby was in, like, on the stage in the wings. And Vince actually invited her out onto the stage to sing the song with her. So technically, she sort of made a debut.
Yeah.
However, she is making a debut when, Ben?
Yeah, I think it was the 4th of August, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that's going to be amazing to keep in touch with and see how all that unfolds for her. And I'm sure we'll get her in touch again to see how that unfolds for her.
What an experience it must be to go and be at the Grand Ole Opry, and would love to, like Ben says, keep an eye on her career. And if you haven't heard her song already, If You Were a Song, my God, definitely go and check it out. We definitely look forward to hearing more stuff that Abby has to do. But I think we'll call that an end there. You have still got another 3 episodes to go of the CMA Fest. So we are excited to show you who else we've interviewed. But in the meantime, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Bye. Thank you.